I like being part of a church that can't stop speaking blessings. We need more of that in the world, I think. Us being able to voice to each other how much we appreciate each other. It does really build family. It's amazing. Right, let's welcome Jean. As part of this morning, we are wrapping up our preaching series on the book of James. So I'm delighted that Jean's come to speak to us. I'm going to pray for him. And we're going to hear the word. Lord, thank you so much for this tremendous letter from James. Lord, it has already spoken to us so much, and we're now sort of coming into land with this preaching series. But Lord, we know that there is more light to break forth from this word. And I thank you so much that there's always more light to break forth from this man. Lord, thank you for all that you've done in his life thus far. Thank you for what you've spoken to him for us for today. And I want to pray for soft hearts in this room, for us to be able to hear your word and to be able to receive it deeply. Let your anointing and your grace rest upon Jean as he speaks. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Hi. I don't know if you guys realize that I've been a missionary from 1982 up to 2001. From time to time, I just say, God, I want to be in the mission field. I want to be back in missions. You know what God says? Where do you live? Are you in South Africa? No. You're a missionary. You're overseas. So, you guys don't, I'm your missionary. Full time, and you can't get rid of me. So, all right. How many of you missed last Sunday? You guys, you missed a powerful Sunday morning where God's presence and his love and friendship was felt. It was really incredible. And this morning as well, up to now, was great. But I really believe that God doesn't want last Sunday and Sunday up to now to be a one-off special event. I don't believe that. I believe God's heart for this church is that it'll become the norm. That God will move every Sunday morning with power. That we will sense his presence and that we'll see miracles. This morning, we're going to look at the last seven verses of the letter of James. So James chapter 5, 13 to 20. And I've asked my lovely wife to come and read these verses. Don't grab your Bibles because you'll read it on the wall there when it comes up. We're going to read from the Amplified Bible. There you go.
Is anyone among you suffering? He must pray. Is anyone joyful? He's to sing praises to God. Is any among you sick? He must call for the elders or spiritual leaders of the church. And they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, or your false steps, or your offenses. And pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings. And he prayed intensely for it not to rain. And the land, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and falls into error, and another one turns him back to God, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Thanks, Rach. Can I have the next slide, please? Okay, there are two methods to be healed. The first method is healthcare and medication, the NHS and seeing a GP. It's a very valid method, okay? I work in the NHS, and I bring the love and light of Jesus into patients' homes that I visit. And I've had comments to that effect. People love me. Well, not me, but Jesus within me. And they want to, and they say, when are you coming back? So, and it's Jesus within me, right? Even Jesus, well, most of the population, us included, use the NHS, don't we? Right? Jesus, after he healed people, what did he say? Go to the priest and let him verify your healing. Why the priest? Because the priest in the Old and the New Testament was the GP, the local GP, right? So Jesus didn't say, just don't go and have an x-ray or whatever. He said, go and get your healing verified. But this morning, I want to talk about a second method, right? A more powerful supernatural way of obtaining your healing, by praying for people and by getting prayer. Can I have the next slide, please? Okay. Asking to be prayed for. James chapter 5. Is anyone among you suffering? He must pray. Is anyone among you sick? He must call on the elders, spiritual leaders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In these verses, James talks about the person who's in trouble and the person who's sick. He's talking to them. And, okay. When you ask someone to pray for you, or when you pray for somebody else, you need to expect something. You need some kind of measure of faith. Otherwise, why bother? Why waste your time and your breath? If you don't expect healing, and if you don't expect God to move through you, what's the point? Okay. Jesus mentioned several times about our attitude of faith and what it should look like. Can I have the next slide, please? Jesus said, when the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked him, why couldn't we drive it out? It's a demon these disciples were talking about. Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, You can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus here is talking about the size of our faith. How big should our faith be? Can I have the next slide, please? Okay. Can you see the mustard seed? That's what Jesus wants from us. Just that little bit of faith. And if we have that kind of faith, Jesus will respond. That's not a lot of faith, is it? You can hardly see it, but it's there. That's the faith we need. But why doesn't it work for us? I've got that much of faith, but it doesn't work. Why not? I have some reasons why, and you might have others as well, okay? Do we, deep down, believe that Jesus really means what he says? Or is there a bit of doubt? Okay? Is it because we doubt that Jesus will respond when we pray because we think we are too insignificant for Jesus to bother with us? When I grew up with a very negative self-image. And there are other reasons as well that you might have. Okay, can I have the next slides, please? Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Is Jesus a liar? Okay? He's not. Then he wasn't lying when he said this, did he? All right? By saying, very truly I tell you, he emphasizes that he really means what he says. So, that's for you. And that's for me. Can I have the next slide, please? This is James chapter 5. Is anyone among you sick? He must call the elders, spiritual leaders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. When somebody comes to us and asks us for prayer, we need faith. What size? The size of a mustard seed. And here Jesus says, anoint people with oil. Go for it. I've got on my key ring a little bit of oil. Not car oil, olive oil. So go for it. Pray. Allow God to move through you. When we read in the Gospels about Jesus healing people, have you noticed that he doesn't use the same method twice? Have a look. Read through the Gospels. Jesus asked the Holy Spirit, what do I need to say? How should I pray? And he used, and the Holy Spirit knows each situation. and each person. And the Holy Spirit gave Jesus the method and the words to say. We must do the same. But so often, I used a method in the past. Oh, that works. And God healed. This method works for me. So I keep using the same method for every person. Sometimes it fits a situation and the person's circumstance. Other times it doesn't. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, like Jesus did, what to say and what to do. Okay. Having said this, Jesus says we need to ask things in my name. Ask in my name and I will respond. Okay. Can I have slide 9? Over the last few weeks, Aid and Phil talked about how to deal with sin. I would like to add what James says, that if you have unforgiveness in your heart and spirit, it has the ability to hinder God's healing. Can I have the next slide of our bench? No, okay. Okay. I've worked hard on this bench. You'll see why. Okay. Right, there you go. That's our bench. It's nicely varnished, isn't it? Hey? I sweat it. It's incredible. But if you look on the right-hand side there, can you see it? Yeah. Do you see those slats? They're broken. And there's a crack at the top. And if somebody sits on that bench on the right-hand side, something will happen. I've got a cousin from South Africa. Well, obviously he's from South Africa because I'm a South African. Who was a woodwork teacher. And he's coming to visit me at the end of September. And I've asked him to do something with the bench. And I've sent him pictures and he's going to help me fix and mend that bench. But why am I going on and on about the bench? It's because of my painting. It's because of the varnish. No, those slats are broken. And that's like the unforgiveness in our heart. It's like darkness in our hearts. Those broken slats. We might look together, but we'll have darkness in our lives. And that's where the demons and sickness can grab hold of. And they can sort of grab hold of the sin and the unforgiveness. And it'll be hard for them to move because they don't want to. So we need to ask God to help us to forgive people. We need to repent from the sins that God shows us in our lives. And when we do that, the hold that the devil has on our lives is removed. And the sickness has that it's been destroyed, that hold. And it'll be easier for God to heal because there isn't anything holding back the healing. Okay, can I have slide 11, please? Elijah was a man like us. He had a nature like ours, with the same physical, mental, and spiritual limitations and shortcomings that you and I have. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. Right? And he prayed intensely for it not to rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. And the sky gave rain. And the land produced its crops as usual. When we read these verses, what is our reaction? Yeah, right. I'm not Elijah. And don't have his faith. Hey? Isn't that our reaction deep down? This is a spiritual giant. This guy called down fire from heaven and God listened to him. And yet God says we can be like that. Okay. I've got some questions. How long after Elijah became a prophet did this happen? Did this event we prayed for rain and stopped, and then how long into his ministry? How long did Elijah develop his faith to reach this point in his ministry? And my third question is, how do we reach the same stage or point in our lives? Okay. I know it's hard hitting. I'm preaching to myself more than to you guys. Okay, can I have slide 12? All right, who's this? Peter, right? When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water towards the boat, he wanted to go to Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, come. And what did Peter do? He got out of the boat and he started walking. And then all of a sudden, his brain kicked in. He became rational and said, hey, I can't walk on water. This is against natural law. What happened? He started thinking. But when he refocused on Jesus, he floated again and he walked towards Jesus. What about the disciples in the boat? They were rational. Oh, they were rational all along. They knew that people don't walk on water, so they didn't even try. When we feel God says to us to do something, to pray for someone or for a situation, we need to disengage our rational mind and start believing with faith. We need to just, because if you keep being rational, you'll have arguments within yourself saying, no, this can't happen, or that doesn't work, or whatever. But if you disengage your rational mind and pray with faith, focus on Jesus and do what you feel the Holy Spirit is doing, miracles will happen. And then afterwards, when it's the right time, be rational again. I'm not saying throw rationality out of the window. But there's a place for faith. If you want to walk on water, if you want to see miracles in your life, or stay in the boat. Be safe. Okay. Can I have the next slide, please? Hang, who's that handsome gentleman? All right. It's incredible. Thanks, Phil. Right? It's so small so that you can't see how handsome I am. But that's my driver's license, my UK driver's license. With that license, I'm legally allowed to drive in the UK and in Europe. I got my license when I was 17, in 1978, in South Africa. So I've been driving since then. When we first got our license, think back, those of us who've got driver's license. When we first got our license, people being passengers in the car, they held on so tight, their knuckles were white. Am I right or am I right? Even now, sometimes Rachel's knuckles go white. But I feel I'm a confident driver because for 21 years in my job in the NHS, I've been driving to clients' homes. I'm in the car a lot, right? So I'm comfortable behind the steering wheel. Driving doesn't faze me anymore. It phases my passengers. All right. What's my point? Just because I've got a driver's license doesn't mean I'm a good driver. I need to drive to become a good driver. Okay. And it's with prayer, it's the same thing. We need to pray for people. We need to be people of action to become good at praying, to see God release His power. The theory is there, but if we don't act, God won't release His theory. God won't release His power. It's just theory. So we need to be doers of the word. Jesus says, don't just be hearers, but be doers. Okay. Can I have slide 14, please? Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on people who are ill or sick, and they will get well. What does it say? And those who believe. So if you believe in Jesus, this is our godly driver's license, so to speak. All right? These are only two places in the Bible, and there are more, where Jesus gives every believer the power and authority to pray for people who are sick, to do miracles, to speak in tongues, to drive out demons, to get rid of demonic darkness. We've been given the license, like my driver's license. But we need to use it. We need to ask, as we pray for people, God will release His power. If we don't, as I said, nothing will happen. So we need to be, we need to have guts and obey the promptings that the Holy Spirit gives in your mind. Can I have slide 15, please? Do you remember that seed? Right? That's a mustard seed. If you keep the seed between your fingers for a very long time or put it on display, what happens? Exactly. Nothing. It just stays a little seed. But plant the seed in fertile soil, and after some time, the seed will develop. To the next slide, please. Into a mustard tree. That tree came from that little seed. Why? How? It was put into fertile soil. And we prayed. It's like we started acting. We started praying for people. And our faith develops. And God's power through us develops. And it became a mustard seed, that big. Do you see those people under that tree? That's how we can, how our faith can be developed. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, I ask you to help us to be people of action. To not just be hearers of the word, but to take the Bible literally and seriously and do what it says. And as we step out and start praying for people, I ask you to release your power. Lord, you said, if you pray in my name, I will do what you ask. Now, we ask that you would make your word come true. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I ask that you would place a hunger in us and an excitement in us to be Christians, an excitement to help people, to pray for people. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen.
Love it. Okay, normally we'd be finished by now, but we're just going to wrap up this service with an opportunity to pray for miracles. So I want to invite the band to come and set up, and we're just going to take a few minutes now. If you need a miracle in your life, if you've got something that feels impossible, and maybe it's irrational to pray for it because you think that either science or circumstance shouldn't allow you to receive whatever this is that you need, let's pray for those things. Let's pray for the impossible things.